will. Let's bow our heads. Precious Heavenly Father, we, Lord, like the crops out there right now, we're rejoicing in your love and your grace. Lord, you're so good to us. Lord, we just appreciate you with all our hearts. I don't know where we would be without you, Lord, in this life. But Lord, you're precious to us. We feel your Holy Spirit dwelling among us. Lord, we ask you to have your way in this service, Lord. Everything that's said and done be for your glory and your honor. And once again, Lord, we'll give you all the glory and honor that's due unto you. In your precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray these things. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. I'd like to turn to page 589 and only believe. I can't even walk without him holding my hand. Been so true through my whole life. And I'm so thankful. I thought number one would surely be me. I thought I could be what I wanted to be. I thought I could build on life. Turn to page page 170, same book. Where could I go? Living below in this old sinful world, hardly a comfort can afford. Striving along to face temptation sore. Where could I go but to the Lord? Oh, seeking a refuge for my soul, needing a friend to help me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord? Oh, life here is grand with friends I love so. And when I face the chilling and the death, where could I go but to the Lord? Oh, tell me where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul.
That the truth. Always been a time that you needed someone greater than the precious friend that's always stuck with you, and that's our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Such a always there when you need him. Amen. I'd like to turn to page 612. I love this little chorus. Amen. As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. Amen. As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to know you are my King. I want you more than any other. Oh, what a desire. Hallelujah. So much more than anything. I want you more than gold or silver.
Yes.
Only you can satisfy.
Praise.
You alone are the real joy giver and the apple of my eye. Oh, hallelujah.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. What a desire to have in this day and age.
Yes.
You ought to be so thankful.
Praise.
Oh, hallelujah. Amen.
Precious.
Thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's sing it again. Amen. For you alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone does my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire and to worship thee. Hallelujah. You may be seated. He is so sweet. He is so sweet, so you say amen. Hallelujah. Brother Paul, would you mind taking up the offering seat? Sing out a little chorus. Think about his love. Think about his goodness. Think about his love. Think about his goodness. Think about his grace. That is promised. For as high as the heavens above,
kind Heavenly Father. Such a privilege, Lord, to come before you. And knowing that what you've done for us, we're able to lift our voice up to you, Lord, that great bumper of blood. Lord, you hear us. Father, all you see is your righteousness and your perfection. Oh, we're so thankful, Lord Jesus, for what you've done for us. But Lord, you know that we're needy people. We all, I'm sure, Lord, have some kind of a need tonight. As we stand here as a man, and one standing beside of us, or another beside another one, we know nothing about it. But you know all about it, Lord. Lord Jesus, we ask that you would go down tonight, meet the needs of these precious people's lives. Maybe there's things, Lord, in somebody's home that's taking place that maybe nobody knows anything about it. But you know all about it. There may be a young person here, Lord, that's drawn. Lord, you would fill them with the Holy Spirit. We ask, oh God, that you would meet that need in their life. Maybe there's old heart and their bodies are aching. Maybe there's something they're going through in their flesh. But you're the great physician, Lord, that can heal all diseases. Heal all problems. We ask that you grant that also. For Lord Jesus, and above everything, whatever our needs may be, we all ask for revelation more than anything else in this life. For we know that if we have the word revealed to us, and we live by faith, then Lord, we'll walk by faith, we'll talk by faith, we'll think. Lord Jesus, that's our greatest desire. Oh, Lord, fill each and every one of our hearts. Again, Lord, we desire this, that it may glorify you, that you would have a greater preeminence in our lives. We appreciate many blessings, Lord, and all the promises you've given to us. Just help us to be able to believe, Lord, and trust in you. Lord, as our precious brother comes to bring forth the word of God, we ask that you would bless him and make it easy for him. Lord, I know sometimes it's easy to get nervous in the flesh. Lord, but we do respect you and we honor you. And Lord, it's a serious thing to get behind the pulpit and bring the word of God. And it makes us sometimes nervous. We ask, Lord, that you would help our brother and make it easy for him. And may he feel the pull of our hearts drawn upon the word of God. Just bless us together now as a little group. Let the love of Jesus Christ flow breast to breast, heart to heart, God. Father, that the Spirit of Christ will dwell in this place. Yes, now thy will be done. So commit it all into your great hands. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Sisters, I'm sorry. ask our brother to come. When we sing that little chorus, reach out and touch the Lord as he walks by. Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. You'll find he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment.
Too busy.
Amen.
Amen. To take the time, even this evening already, we can say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. He's so mindful. Let's just bow our heads. Precious Lord, once more we have gathered. And Lord, by your mercy and grace, we've come tonight, Lord, with a desire burning in our hearts. And Lord, a longing to please you. And Lord, as that little sister sang the song, Lord, how we in your presence, Lord, it's where we always want to be. Lord, we're just so thankful to feel you here this evening and know that you're with us. And Lord, as we've opened up these pages of this precious Bible, Lord, and the words that you've left for us, may it some way strengthen us, Lord, encourage us to press on a little more. Maybe, Lord, renew our zeal or press a little harder, Lord, to be exactly what you would want us to be. And Lord, we just ask your blessings upon your word and just upon our hearts to the hearing. And we'll never fail to see that you receive all the glory and the honor for it all. In the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, he's so wonderful. And I'm happy to be here too. Amen. Thank the Lord for each opportunity we get to come and together around his precious word. If you'd like to, let's turn over to Joshua. Read a very familiar scripture. Actually, everything I read tonight is going to be very familiar. You ain't going to hear anything new, but just praying that it'll stir our hearts a little bit and cause us to press a little harder. Amen. And as the precious words keeps coming as this morning, how we ought to cherish it and hold it in our hearts. Amen. And even though it's a serious time and the word is, the sun is shining hot, but yet should be such a joyous time in our hearts. When we see what's taking place and realizing where we're standing and how that ought to make us happy. Amen. To know that God's mindful of me and I'm not off somewhere in la la land just kind of going through life, whistling away, thinking everything's okay. But I know exactly the Lord has given us an opportunity. The Holy Spirit is crying out to make sure we know exactly where we stand. Here in Joshua, the first chapter, just to save a little bit of time, we'll just start there at the first verse. Amen. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. And every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I give unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon unto the great river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. And there shall not be any man be able to stand before thee all of the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. But be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. May the Lord add the blessing of his word. You may be seated. Very familiar scripture, one that's been read many times, but you know, just to draw a little picture tonight, we'll go through some scriptures, but I want you to stop and think of that time when the children of Israel came out of Egypt. God had done all these mighty signs and wonders ahead of them. Pillar of fire and a cloud by night or by day. And seeing all that God done through Moses, seeing the water parted of the Red Sea and the manna that God, through Moses, made sure to tell them that there was manna there, the snake on the pole for their healing. All these great things that God done and used Moses to show to the people. And then to see him pass off the scene. And how, you know, Joshua being a young man, having come up through and seen that, how maybe there for just a short time, I'm sure, in maybe his own mind, he might have wondered, what's next? What's the next step? What will we do? How will we proceed? You know, but then God came to him and told him, as I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. And if you'll do all that is in the book, as he goes down, he says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, and thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. And oh my, how we see God move right off from Moses. He kept right on moving. They didn't try to live where Moses stopped. But the Holy Spirit moved right in, and God moved into Joshua, and they kept right on marching. Right on into the land. And how we can see that Joshua was vindicated. The same spirit that was in Moses come over on Joshua, and we see it vindicated right out through. That God was moving and acting and working and proving forth that he was with the people and all that took place. And if you'll turn over here to 2 Kings. Amen. Some things way back here in the Old Testament. Maybe we don't read that often, maybe. Let's see. 2 Kings in the... Amen. I believe it's the second chapter. 2 Kings 2. Amen. And this is where the God was fixing to take Elijah off the scene. And we're going to start about the 9th verse just to catch this here. And it says, and it came to pass when they were gone that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elijah said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took a hold of his clothes, and he rent them into two pieces. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him. Realizing right before this had happened, Elijah had smote the water with that mantle, and the water parted, and him and Elisha had passed through the Jordan on dry ground. And there was 50 men standing back watching this happen. And he says, and he took up the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and he went back, and he stood by the bank of the Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and he smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had also smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets which were to view at Jericho saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves down to the ground before him. And they said unto him, behold now, there be with thy servants 50 strong men. Let them go, we pray thee, and seek thy master, lest peradventure the Spirit of the Lord hath taken him up and cast him upon some mountain or into some valley. And he said, ye shall not send. I like how God, when he comes on the scene, instantly. Amen. There's a boldness. There's a steadfastness. And Elisha says, ye shall not send. And when they urged him till he was ashamed, he said, send. And they sent therefore 50 men, and they sought 3 days, but found him not. And when they came again to him, for he tarried at Jericho, he said unto them, did I not say unto you, go not? And the men of the city said unto Elisha, behold, I pray thee, the situation of this city is pleasant, as my Lord seeth, but the water is not, and the ground barren. And he said, bring me a new cruse and put salt therein. And they brought it to him. And he went forth into the spring of the waters and cast the salt in there and said, thus saith the Lord, I have healed these waters. There shall not be from thence any more death or barren land. So the waters were healed unto this day, according to the saying of Elisha, which he spake. Now we know Elisha as a man didn't do that. But the same God that was upon Elijah came back upon Elisha and made himself manifest before those people to vindicate that he had just changed men that he was using at that time. And how that ought to go hand in hand with a lot of things that Brother Branham had brought, showing that God just keeps moving. He never stops. You know, he had a place and an allotted time for each one of us to be here. And each one of us in our allotted time is here to do the work that God has seen for each and every one of us. Now, I may not be a prophet. You may not be a prophet. But God's still got to work for each and every one of us. And that's why he's called us to sit here and called us to his great purpose. But God's spirit never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if you'll turn over here with me to John, the 20th chapter. Amen. Just read a couple of these scriptures here. In John, the 20th chapter, in the 19th verse, Jesus speaking to the disciples. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. And the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. I want you to notice that. They were hiding for fear of the Jews. He made sure to put that in there for a reason. Amen. And he says, then he said unto them, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And amen. The disciples hearing this, and you can go on down. There's many things that happened. But let's go over to the book of Acts now. A group of men that was hiding and up in the upper room as they were and fearful. But then it's just amazing how God made sure all of this was recorded. Yes. And placed it into this book to show us an example for a reason. In the second chapter of the book of Acts, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all of the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set up on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And we'll skip on over to about the 12th verse. And it was taught as he went on to explain how they were speaking in new tongues and all the people from around about was hearing them. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meanest this? And others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea. I want you to look at that boldness. It just pops right out there every time when the Holy Spirit began to speak through him. You could see it just popping right out there. You can just see the change in the tone. And he said, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. And oh my, he went on to preach him a sermon. The same man that was hiding just a few more days before, up there in that upper room. But once the Holy Spirit came, the very life that was on Jesus came back in that body. The same Spirit that raised him from the dead was now housing in that human body. Name of John, name of Peter, name of James. Each one that was filled. And if you turn with me here to Acts, the 3rd chapter, and the 1st verse. And Peter and John went up together into the temple, the hour of prayer being the 9th hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask in alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. And then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give thee. And in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took up to the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he leaping stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And how we see God, we look at this, and oftentimes as we see the things the prophet brought, so many people get it into their mind that, oh, we need to be working miracles and we need to be doing this and that and these great signs. These signs are going to follow them that believe, and they will. Jesus said they would. And the days of miracles is not past. It's still here. God has not lost any strength. But in this age in which we live, he said this was the age of the fullness of that life being expressed. And it would be a people that he would have a full prisonership of a people. And we can see that that life is the most prominent thing. With that life comes speaking in tongues if God sees fit. With that comes miracles if God sees fit. But I want you to not focus on those things, but I want you to look at what the Holy Spirit was doing through these people's lives, what to catch and to prove that Jesus Christ was alive and living, and he was on the scene again in the hearts of men and women. And as we see this taking place and we see that happening, as we go on here over to Acts, the 4th chapter, and the 13th to the 16th verse. And now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus. Beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could not say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go outside of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them, and is manifest to all of them." It was made manifest to all of them. Amen. This was a time God was expressing, showing that he was there and he was alive and that the power had been given. He had sent them. Amen. And he was there to back it up and make sure that it was manifested before all. But when they had come, saying, "What shall we do? Notable miracle hath been done by them, is manifested to all of them and dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it." Amen. Amen. And that's the way it is. When God does anything, you can't deny that God was doing it. It stands out 100% and it shines forth to prove that God is on the scene. Hey, man, there's a few things here. This is in the Message of Prisoner. Brother Branham preached in July 17th, I believe it is, of 63. And paragraph 61, he says, "Now in the days of the Lord Jesus, when we would think of that unpopular person, uneducated, the world's no schools they could ever find that he went to, no seminary experience, and then raise up a name of illegitimate birth and then come out preaching a gospel that was contrary to anything they had been taught, condemning the ministers and their organizations and so forth. And the organization had made a statement, if anybody went to hear this so-called prophet, would be put out of the synagogue, which was a mortal sin. Let me see, and this man ignored such as that, yet he was perfectly with the scripture, but not the way they knew it. What side would you have took? See, your life that you live now reflects now just what you would have done then, because you still are possessed with the same spirit. If you take that side now with them, you'd have done it then, because the same spirit that's in you now is in them people then. The devil never takes his spirit. He just goes off one man onto another. And God never takes his spirit neither. It goes from one to the other, see? So the very spirit that was upon Elijah came upon Elisha, onto John the Baptist, and so forth. And I wrote in there onto Brother Branham. Think how God is expressing himself the same. Never changing. He did the same thing. The Holy Spirit was upon Christ, came upon the disciples, all down and still upon the people, see? God never takes his spirit. And you've got to see yourself in that little word people, right there at the backside, still upon the people at the backside of that line. And that's what we're talking, our pastor's been speaking about, as we see the token being on display, the true baptism of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit's going to vindicate that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what he left for this day, a people will be exactly that. And be able to stand with confidence before God, their hearts not condemning them. And if you stand in that place, the scripture says, ask what you will and it shall be done. So just stop and think, if we can just get focused in. and be so certain of that assurance, as our pastor was talking about this morning, that that assurance is in my life, and I can stand there and know and see that. What? There's no limit to what God can do for you. But the only limit that's on God is you yourself in the condition in which we stand. We must be exactly the way he said we had to be for all things to work out to hit the way that he planned it out here. And we read about. And we read so much. And oh my, there's ministers through the land today talking about all that God can do. Oh, having prayer lines and trying to have healing services. God can do all of that. Brother Branham said we all could work miracles when directed by God. But that's what we got to see, is that leadership of the Holy Spirit must be first and foremost in our hearts and in our lives. Amen. It's got to be that before anything else can flow into line. And that's why you can see those disciples as they come out of that upper room after being filled with the Holy Ghost. They was doing the Father's work, finishing it, expressing it. We see it taking place. This is in the Reflection of Jesus Christ in the Church Age book, and I don't actually have a paragraph for it. I didn't write it down, but it's in the Reflection of Jesus Christ would be the under the titling. It says, now remember this, Christ in the true church is a continuation of the book of Acts. But the book of Revelation shows how the Antichrist spirit would come up into the church and defile it, making it lukewarm, formal, powerless. It exposes Satan, revealing his works, attempted destruction of God's people, and discrediting of God's word right down to the time he is cast into the lake of fire, and he fights that. He cannot stand it. He knows that if the people get a true revelation of the true church and what she is and what she stands for, that she can do the greater work. She will be an invincible army. And when our prophet was speaking this, he was talking about denominations maybe more at that time. Here was the Catholics and the Baptists and all of this going on, tearing down God's word and trying to take it this direction or that direction. But then God sent a prophet, a mouthpiece, in this age that brought the direction from God for this last day age that we live in. That set the order for what that little bride was going to be. And then men entered in and they've tried to tear down and discredit God's word. That it's not as powerful as God said it was. It won't work just like he said it would do. But we stand here tonight with God's precious word before us, and someone's been chosen before this world was ever formed to stand in this last day and to have every word manifested and vindicated out through their life, that all people would be able to see and not deny that Jesus Christ was living on the throne of their heart. Amen. It's got to be a reality. Just as much as they could see that that man was healed and he stood up and walked, that reality of your Jesus Christ in your life has got to be that plain, that they can see him in you every day you walk. Amen. He says, she will be an invincible army if they get a true revelation of the two spirits within the framework of the Christian church. And oh, by God's Spirit, discern and withstand the Antichrist spirit. Satan will be powerless before her. He will be definitely thwarted today, as when Christ withstood his every effort to gain power over him in the deserts. Yes, Satan hates revelation, but we love it. With true revelation in our lives, the gates of hell cannot prevail against us, but we will prevail over them. And that's why we must have that hunger and that desire in our hearts, that press. Lord, make sure I reveal every word to me. Many people can quote you this word. Many people can read you the Bible and tell you what it says. But we're looking for a reality, a vindication, a manifestation that it's just not being spoke, but it's being lived out through us. That we see that taking place, the reality of it. And I can see it in my own life. And people that pass me by will see that in my life. And then it'll be bear out that Jesus Christ is living and alive in our hearts and our lives. Amen. He says, this is in the Message, God hiding himself in simplicity and revealing himself in the same, preached March 1763. Now men has their own ideas of what God ought to be and what God is doing. And as I've made the old statement many times, that man still remains man. Man is always giving God praise for what he did do, and always looking forward to what he will do, but ignoring what he is doing now. and how we can see that. We can look back in the Old Testament. We can look back in the Scriptures and the New Testament and see all that God did and praise Him for it and glorify Him, how magnifying it is. And we can talk about what's coming. There's a great day coming. There's going to be streets of gold and a millennium and all what God has prepared for those that love Him. But what's God doing right now while we're here? God's never standing still. There's a work to be done and taking place in every moment of His time as we stand here. And that's what we got to see is the Holy Spirit is crying out and pressing. Get ready. Make sure it's lining up. Look where we're standing. You feel that pressure as our pastor feels that pressure to keep pushing it to us. How we ought to be feeling that same pressure on the inside of us to reach out to God and say, Lord, what more do I need from You? What am I lacking? And it ought to be a twofold thing as we come underneath the anointing of the Holy Spirit and we sit there and the Holy Spirit is there teaching us and guiding us, making sure, shoring up everything and making sure, you know, in the old days back when they used to go in and do mining, you know, they'd start digging their hole and they'd get in there and they'd put a timber in and they'd put another timber to hold up the mine to make sure. And you know, before they would ever get in there to work, they were making sure it was extra sturdy and it was extra strong. And that's the way it is today. God's Word is just coming and it's just building us up and building us up, firming it up to make sure that there's nothing going to fail when we get in the middle of the heat of the battle. But oh my, how we ought to cry out to God. There's something going on now. Don't miss it, saints. He says what He's doing, see, that's the way they miss it. They look back and see what a great thing He done. But they fail to see what a simple thing He used to do it. And then they look forward and see a great thing coming that's going to happen. And 9 times out of 10, it's already happening right around them. And it's so simple, they don't know it. And how we see people looking back to when Brother Branham was here. They want to go back to his ministry, to what God was doing to attract the attention of the bride. And to show forth and to vindicate that prophet was on the scene. But they failed to miss the words that came forth and the letter that was coming to that little bride to get ready, I'm making my return. And oh my, if God has caught your attention and you can see that there's more to life than just going to church, more than just saying, I'm following Brother Branham's message. But God sent a hidden message out through that message for His special people. And oh my, may we catch it. May we be ones that are up in the harness saying, Lord, it don't matter what everyone else is doing, but Lord, I want You to reveal to me exactly where I stand. Amen. We go along and we get to just being a church member. I belong to this church. I belong to that. That's fine. But it's got to be Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever on the throne of our hearts, revealing Himself and manifesting Himself back through these bodies. Here in Christ is the Mystery of God, July 28, 63, He says, and watch here. It's beautiful. I don't want you to miss this. Now everybody, and you people on tape and out in the jungles, wherever you are, hear it. Now listen. As the Father has sent me, so send I you. And Jesus said, now watch, the Father that sent Him went in Him to vindicate Himself right. For He was the Word, and the same Jesus that sends you goes with you and in you to vindicate the same God. As the Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so I'll send you, and you'll live by me. And I think every one of us can stand here tonight and look back into the Old Testament and see what God done through Moses. And see those things. And there ain't a person here that can truly say Moses was able to do any of that. It took God to do all of those things. And each one of those men up through time, you can truly see man could not do what they were doing and what happened. But it was God on the scene working through man as His agent, bringing to pass His word for the time and the season. And Brother Branham came on the scene and did the same thing. God vindicating through him that God was on the scene doing, healing and working these things. Showing that Brother Branham as a man couldn't do it. But God through him was vindicating every word that had been spoken of Malachi 4. Amen. Showing and proving that God was on the scene. And it comes right down to you and I. That as the prophets and God through that prophet told us, it's a life you can't live yourself. It's a life He comes in and lives by Himself in you. Amen. And how when we see that, how that ought to make us just want to lay back. And turn loose of our own ambition, our own ideas, and lay in the presence of the Lord and say, Lord, You take me in Your hands and mold me. Don't let me be some old cold church, formal church member. Don't let me just be somebody that's following a prophet. But Lord, let me be someone, Lord, that You can use to vindicate that word through in this last age. Oh, may we get ourselves out of the way and just lay open before Him and say, Lord, here am I. Use me. Whatever it is, Amen. It may not be great signs and wonders and miracles for us. God's got a purpose for everything he does. But the one thing he needs is someone that he can prove he's got the true vindication. Amen. You know, I think of that little example the prophet brought of that little lady. I just think about that a lot since our brother reread that. But just think of that, how when Brother Branham used that story, he could have used a lot of different things. But knowing that through God's word, God showed us that the woman is a weaker vessel. Showed us that she's not as strong as the man. But when he used that little type, he was showing that the Holy Ghost in any life can bring any situation under subject to God's word. And prove it right out that God will vindicate exactly. It don't matter if you're a young person, an old person, a man or a woman. If God's on the throne of your heart, it'll bring your body subject to that word exactly the way God said it would. And it'll bring glory and honor to his name. Amen. And prove out. He said, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. He said, Jesus sends you. He goes with you and in you to vindicate the same God. As the Father has sent me and I live by the Father, so I'll send you and you'll live by me. What is he? He's the word. You'll live by the word. Oh, how I'd like to take a text on that and preach now for a couple hours on it, he said. But oh my, and he dropped in there. He said, in a little while the world won't see me no more. Yet ye shall see me. For I, the personal pronoun, the person Jesus, will be with you, even in you, to the end of the world. And the works that I do shall you do also. Now go back and see what he done and then see what you do and then compare yourself. And that's what we've been doing over the last few services here. We've been comparing, looking back. What does that word say it'll do in me and what's happening in my life? And how we should be able to measure up and what a joy it should bring as we measure up. Oh my, maybe we see a short place and we run to correct it and get it knocked off. Maybe we see a place where, oh, I see I'm lining up. Amen. Thank you, Lord. But oh, what a joy and a press that ought to put in our hearts as we see. We gather in here, saints, and we could come in here and jump and prime ourselves up and run around the church and sing and shout and speak in tongues. We can do all of those things. That the Holy Spirit is here. And if we just wanted to get carnal with it and turn loose, we could have all kinds of carnal impersonations taking place around us. But we're looking for something real, saints. We want to see a real, genuine praise coming from someone's heart. A real, genuine singing to the Lord. A real, genuine preaching, not just to be seen, not just to be heard, not up here for a show, but to bring that word in the fullness and the power of the Holy Ghost, that it'll produce a change of our lives and what God will do to back it up and vindicate it. But oh my, we see so much church has become a fashion. And this one has to act like that one. And it keeps on and it keeps on until it just becomes a routine and a way to be. But that's not what God was looking for. He's looking for real Christians. Amen. Someone that's a genuinely Christ-like and living by every word that he proceeded from the mouth of God. Amen. This is in the message, The Unveiling of God, June 1464. Amen. He says, notice, when we become part of him, you are the veil that veils him. You are part of him as long as Christ is in you, as Christ was in God, because God was in him and made him God. As Christ is in you, the hope of glory, you become part of Christ. He that believeth on me and the works that I do, shall he also. You become part of Christ as long as Christ is hid in you. And then it's veiled to the unbeliever. But you know he is in you. You are a temple in Christ that's behind the veil, the skin. Because of this veil, the veil again is human flesh, hides God, the word, from the unbeliever. As it is written, you are written epistles, the Bible said. Now, what is an epistle? It's a written word. You are written our word. You'll read it like this. It said, you are written epistles. You are the word that has been written and made manifest, and nothing can be added to it. And you can't say I'm a written epistle and living some other kind of something but what this already wrote, because nothing can be added or taken away. And as our pastor was mentioning that this morning, it kind of runs right along with it. He says, but ye are written epistles, read of all men. You are, I translate that, turn it around this way, see, your epistles that has been written, because you can't add nothing to it, that's read of all men, manifested word of God, in other words. And Peter and John, to show it, when they went up there, they perceived they were ignorant and unlearned. They had no education, but they had taken notice that they had been with Jesus. They were ignorant and unlearned, but they were written epistles. See, read that they had been with Jesus because Jesus was manifesting himself through them. And Christ, veiled in their flesh, manifested and made alive. Like he was in Moses, when the word was in Moses, he was God in flesh. And when it was in Jesus, it was God in flesh, see? The only thing he'd done was change his mask, not his word, not his nature. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He only changed his form. And he changed from Noah to Moses, and he changed from Moses to David, and from David to Joseph, on down till he came into the fullness of the Godhead bodily. See, he is still the same God. And I hope that gets through. It's the same God, but he just takes another veil, see? He puts on another veil. And today, you and I have become part of that veil. And that's the beauty of seeing that he has taken us over. As we sang that little chorus this morning, I'm not what I was. Thanks be to Calvary, I'm not what I was. And oh my, I'm in the Spirit and the Spirit's in me. Oh, how when you can see that he has taken you over, what a praise it'll put into your heart. How it'll make the reality come alive to these precious songs that we sing as you sit there and you hear them. And you can see that it's happening to you. It's not something that's talked about. If I just see somebody else always getting blessed with a miracle or this happening or that happening, that's good for them and oh, I could be happy for them. But what about if I can see that miracle taking place in my own life? As our pastor had asked us several services ago, how many of you have witnessed a miracle in your life? And now if we can truly see that we've witnessed that miracle of Jesus Christ changing my soul and changing my life to around, how that ought to just make me so happy and such a press in my heart and in my life. But you know what? It becomes a burden if I don't really want to give up my other life. If I don't want to surrender and give up to him, I still want to plan for tomorrow. I want to keep all these things that are coming. These material things hold more and mean more to me. It don't cause much joy. It's more of a burden when I have to come in and set it here. And I have to sit there by that measuring stick and see it lining up. But oh, if my heart and affections are set on things above. And as I sit there by that measuring stick, oh, it causes such a joy. It causes a press in your heart. Lord, that's me. I've got to reach that height. And oh my, and every true believer, you can't rest till you get there. Amen. Something just working away. Lord, I want more of you each and every day. Amen. You sisters can come to the instruments. Amen. Already been a little bit over here. Amen. Here in this is God is his own interpreter, preached February 5th, 1964. Paragraph 55, and he said, God in the past 40 years has shook this nation with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and men and women are still outside of it because they hooked into something, living in a glare of another day. What's the matter? Everyone wants to be a Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, Lutheran, or something. See, it's a glare. They're living in the glare of Moses' day. What did he say? We're Moses' disciples. See, he's talking about back in the Bible. He says, if you'd have known Moses, you'd have known me, and Moses wrote of me. If you'd have known Luther, you'd have known this age. If you'd have known the Methodist, you'd know this age, for Christ wrote of this age. The word that's being fulfilled has to be fulfilled in this age. It doesn't need anybody to interpret it. God does his own interpreting, and God interprets himself because he's the only one that can interpret it. God's promises always vindicate what he said, and that's the interpretation. Jesus said in St. John 14, 12, first, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Did he say it? That's right. That don't need any interpretation. When somebody does that work, that's God, certainly. And he also said in there, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. Jesus said that. Did he say it? Certainly, he said it. That needs no interpreting. It meant exactly what he said. As it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. What about the days of Lot? Let's go back for just a moment and find out what they were doing. There were three classes of people in the days of Lot. The believer, the make-believer, and the unbeliever, and they're in every crowd the same thing. And we find out that the Sodomites were the unbeliever. Lot was the make-believer. And Abraham was the believer. And he was the one the covenant was confirmed to. He was the one that was looking for a promised son. He was the one expecting it. Amen. He said, I'm not amening myself, but amen means so be it. That's right. Abraham was not in Sodom. Abraham was up out of Sodom. And he's a type of the spiritual church today. Lot is a type of the denominational church down in Sodom, yet watch the Bible said the sins of Sodom vexed his righteous soul daily. Why didn't he have the nerve to stand out against it? There's many a good man sitting in church today looking out and seeing women with shorts on, a man doing things, their members going and playing golf on Sunday and picnic parties and swimming and things. Instead of attending church, sitting home on Wednesday night watching television instead of attending church, they feel like saying something about it, but the board would put them out. What's the matter? It's Lot again looking out his window and seeing sin. and afraid to call sin sin. But Abraham wasn't in their mess. He was out of it. He was a type of the spiritual church. And may we truly find ourselves not in that mess and not caught up with all that's going on around us, but a people that's truly looking for that promise to be delivered. Someone that's got their eyes tuned not to what's happening around us in this world, and not got our eyes set upon some goal of something we can achieve, but upon one thing, that Jesus Christ's purpose be fulfilled in my life. And then one of these days, He's coming to catch us away. It might be in the morning. It might be 10 years from now. I don't know. But when you look at this world and see the shape it's got into, you just don't know how much longer it can hold. But we know one thing. We're standing there waiting, just like a person waiting on a train, as Brother Branham used it in the message, the token. But we got to make sure we've got that pass in our hands.
Amen.
And if that pass is in your hands, who cares about a COVID-19? Who cares about the next plague that'll come upon the earth? Who cares about the next famine or feast that'll be in the, whatever it would come upon this land? Who cares as long as you're holding that token in your hand and you know your fare's been paid? It don't matter. And that's what this has come to. That determination that we know where we stand with God. And it's, we can stand there with an assurance, let come what may. I don't have to worry. I don't have to fear. I've got peace in the midst of the storms. And that's what is the Holy Spirit upon each and every person God's ever been on. It fulfilled exactly what God wanted done for that age. And He manifested that He was in control. And He showed that what He was then, He was yesterday. What He was then, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Then we know what He's going to be. But today, He's the same God that's here to meet and fulfill anything that He said in that word, if we'll just take Him at His word. And oh, if we can just find the courage, the strength. If I need the baptism of the Holy Ghost, if I can just one time anchor in my soul that if I'll just do what He said, and take Him at His word with sincerity and repent and to be baptized and reach out to God, you watch God honor your prayer. Oh my, God's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him.
Amen.
And oh my, as we come in here, we get out of this service is what we're going to put into it. Oh my, if we would just put maybe a little more effort into it as we come in and asking God, Lord, am I giving You my all? Have I given it my all every service, Lord, when I come in? Do I come in with a true praise? What if He was standing here? Oh my, as our pastor mentioned about the president coming and how you'd give him respect. And oh my, as we stand here and God has taken the time to come be with us. Oh, what a joy it ought to put in our hearts. How our minds should be so collected to God's word and so focused that we wouldn't miss one thing, but we would sit here reverently and say, Lord, speak to my heart exactly what You want for me. But oh my, we always sometimes we get too busy, and that's not our goal, but may we truly lose sight of all that this world has to offer.
Yes,
and turn our eyes upon Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
And the things of this world will grow strangely dim.
Yes,
oh, I'm so glad. Oh, that I serve a living God.
Amen.
Amen. As we see the precious word coming forth. And oh, we see the time in which we live. It causes such a joy to know that by God's grace, He's given me eye salve to see. And I pray for more. Lord, keep showing me. Don't let me ever get into a place to where I think this is exactly, Lord, what I want to hold to, but Lord, keep my mind centered to the God's word, that should some way, maybe I've got something just a little bit turned, that God would be able to come and show me and straighten it out in my life, that it would be exactly what He would want in our hearts and in our lives. Lord, here am I. Let's just use us, Lord, to Your glory and Your honor. Let's all stand, if you would. Amen. As our pastor comes, let's sing that little chorus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Amen.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things we'll grow strangely dim.
world today and tonight. It'll be of courage, encouragement and strength and cause you to press on greater than you ever have. And may we see again the Holy Ghost is here to deal with our hearts and to draw upon us and to bring us under complete submission to His precious ways. Saints, today now, as quick as it has went, today, now, we leave tonight, and it has become history. What will it mean to you this day? Will it change anything at all in your life? Or did something on this day change in your life? To grow greater and stronger in Christ. Let Him have it. Is something happen? Or will you leave tonight now and you'll be the same person as you came in this morning? Oh, I trust that we all have clung a little higher today. May something in God's Word has encouraged us and caused us to press. Time's about over with. Your days are numbered. Days are numbered. And the Lord Jesus will appear. He shall come as a thief in the night. Come when those who least expect Him. I trust that we'll be looking and loving the appearing of our Lord Jesus. And truly, as the song says, and truly may the things of this life, this earth, were strangely dim. So strange to us that maybe we wonder, how could this be? This used to be important to me. This used to be something to me. And then all of a sudden, something changes. And you don't even feel like you belong here. You become as a pilgrim and a stranger journeying this land. Is that the way you begin to feel? Oh, why, or do you feel like you belong here? You belong to this life. This life is you. Striving for a greater part of it. I hope not. I hope we're striving for the glory of God. The things of this earth are growing stranger and more dimmer to you all along the way, because they are just temporal, all this material things and things we strive for materially and so forth. It's all going to dissipate and be gone one of these days. And I'm looking forward to that day. Praise His holy name. Let us bow our heads. Precious Heavenly Father, again we thank You for the Word of God in which we've been able to listen to tonight, to place in our hearts by mercy and grace. I'm just asking again, Lord, that You would stir our hearts. Stir us, Lord, to where we'll be that people You want us to be. Walking in the light, a beautiful light. Lord, where there's truth and understanding, revelation, Spirit-filled lives that, oh God, You could dwell on, have the preeminence of. We ask, Lord, that's our desire. And we ask that You would grant it to us, Lord. Again, we pray for those, Lord, that couldn't be here. Those that maybe their health is down, Lord, and couldn't. Ask that You would bless them. Strengthen them, O God. And may You keep them in Your spirit, O God. That all of us could go and lead together one of these days. Maybe sick at times here in this life, and there may be times our bodies are weak and things take place, things happen. But Lord, there's a wonderful, beautiful land beyond the river where there'll be no more sickness. No more crying, no more dying. Lord, just sweet bliss, and the sweetness of God flowing through our lives and through everything we do. Just go with us again is our prayer, Lord. Watch over us upon the highways again, we pray. Keep us safe, Lord Jesus, and bring us back the next appointed time. Lord, just put a little something in closing here. Put something just a little special in our heart this week as we walk away from here. The Lord will desire to not do anything wrong. The Lord, you'll have the preeminence in everything we do. The Lord, when we come back next Sunday, we'd say, we know we've done that which always pleased you. Oh, Lord, what a glorious place to stand in. And stand there without any condemnation, Lord, knowing that we're filled with the Holy Ghost, the life of Jesus Christ given through this tabernacle of flesh. And then, Lord, we can ask what we desire, and you'll give it to us. Because we have the confidence, Lord, we have confidence towards you. What a beautiful place, Lord, what a grand place to walk in. So we ask that you'll bless us now, and commit these people in your hands now. Guide us and lead us, Lord Jesus. In your precious name we ask, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. May God richly bless you until we meet again. And come Thursday night, Lord willing, if he tarries that long, with your hearts open, your desires burning, just waiting on the Lord to see what he wants. Amen. I love you, people. I love you with all my heart. Hope you love me too. But one of these days, I trust we'll all be able to make it in together. Amen. May God richly bless you now.